Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners come to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth. With your hosts, financial and wealth building experts, Christian Allen and Rod Zabriskie.
Welcome into another episode of the Money Insights Podcast, the alternative wealth building podcast for high income earners. Hey, everybody. My name's Christian Allen. I'm here with my good friend, Rod the Pod Zabriskie. Rod, what's up, man?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Are you excited to talk about safeguarding generational wealth through asset protection?
I am so excited. I can't tell
you. Man, it's enthralling. I tell you what. Okay, so here's the deal. Nobody likes to talk about asset protection. Is like talking about taxes. They're just so boring, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to attempt to make this conversation about asset protection less boring, a little bit more entertaining, and hopefully we'll give some good ideas on how you can make sure that you're better prepared to keep your money, keep that hard-earned money that we've worked so hard for. Okay, so Rod, before we get into it, is anything going on in your world that we need to know about? I mean, you've always got kids going off to who knows where. You have like 17 kids that have gotten married in the last couple years. Like, what's going on in the Zabriskie household before we move into the real stuff? Yeah,
there is always something going on. But I don't have any like big announcements.
Nothing big.
It's been a little bit quiet, but I'll tell you, we have some stuff coming up.
Well, you keep us posted. The entire Money Insights Nation is waiting for your next update.
Okay, man, I'll bring it.
Out the pot. Okay, all right. Let's talk about asset protection, Rod, and why it's an important aspect of building wealth. And we oftentimes talk about this idea of building generational wealth, right? And we almost say it so often that it just becomes rhetoric. But asset protection plays an absolutely pivotal role in any type of wealth that we want to build, but especially if we want to take it to the next level and go to the next generation, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of ways that the government, people, situations can come at our assets. And of course, suddenly, if we haven't done the appropriate proper planning, the entire plan can blow up. So without question, asset protection has to be one of those core pillars. That's why in the Invest with Benefits philosophy, it is one of our six core benefits, along with leverage, velocity, cash flow, tax optimization, and estate maximization. Asset protection is as critical as any of those other elements. So maybe to kick things off, Rod, just give us kind of high level from your perspective, what does asset protection mean, right? Like we're talking about it as if everybody, but it probably means different things to different people. Give us some thoughts.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of people do some asset protection and maybe aren't even thinking about it. But it basically, it's saying that if we're going to build wealth, let's build it in ways that keeps it at arm's length from all these people who want to get their grubby hands on it. Right.
Okay, so maybe let's start there. Who wants to get their hands on it?
Well, I think lawsuits are the first thing that a lot of people think of because you just living your life, right? Yourself or maybe even a family member, you cause a car accident or whatever. Someone slips and falls on your property and all of a sudden someone wants to come after your assets. And especially if you're a high income earner and you have that target on your back, they know you're whatever, a physician, an attorney, some sort of
a real estate investor, a business owner, any of those successful careers are somehow just get targeted, right?
Yep. And so that becomes a problem. But on the other hand, we can own assets in certain ways. We can position them in certain ways to, number one, make them so they're less visible or invisible, right? If the person who slipped and fell, they hire an attorney, the attorney starts looking and trying to find your assets and they don't see them. That by itself is a huge step toward asset protection. And then also, even if they can see them, but they're out of reach, they have some protection between the individual who wants it and getting at them, then you just may not end up being sued. But the flip side could be that if they can see them and they're not positioned correctly, they're absolutely going to come after you.
What about the IRS, Rod? Is that another thing that we need to be? not is it? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
The IRS is coming after our assets in a variety of ways. And so similar to protecting our assets. So look, I'll give you an example, right? We talk about estate taxes all the time. Mm-hmm. Estate taxes are massive. It can wipe out 40% of the wealth you've created if you haven't done the appropriate planning.
Yeah.
So when we talk about asset protection, while the first thing that comes to mind, like you said, is lawsuits and things like that, the reality is that there are several potential, what's the right word? There's like darts that are coming at us that can potentially do that. And again, IRS is one of the most obvious because taxes are far and away a high income earner's largest lifetime expense.
Yeah.
So if we can build our wealth and then make sure that we're protected, okay, let's talk about like an estate planning is a good example of this. If suddenly, instead of paying 40% on those assets, I can move those from one generation to the next without doing that with the appropriate planning, that is very much a form of protecting my assets so that I can create the generational wealth we're all after.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a great point because we have, among our core benefits, we have asset protection and we have estate maximization. And they really do often go hand in hand because the similar things that you're doing to protect your assets while you're living are also similar things that you're doing to make them pass along efficiently to the next generation. So we will hit on both and they're both important. You want to trigger both, but just realize that there is some crossover as it relates to the specific strategies that we use.
Okay, so let's jump in. Let's talk about a few of the assets that are most common that we need to be thinking about. Now, obviously asset protection across the board is important. And so when we talk about it, we're usually talking about it at like a high level, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens in reality is that it's oftentimes done incrementally as we go and as we invest. So I'll give you an example. Real estate, obviously there's factors that we need to be considering when we're investing in real estate. There's market fluctuation, there's potential property damage, there's potential legal disputes. These are all things that are potentially attacking our real estate. But if we're doing the right things along the way, like owning it in the proper entity. So instead of just owning it personally, if I own it in an LLC, again, just a really simple thing I can do to create a level of separation from my personal assets. So even in a situation like that, if I own it properly, one, I can eliminate it from being targeted, right? I can just take it out of the equation. And number two, I can get it away from my personal, from me, so that even if there's an issue with, like, let's say it's my piece of real estate and someone, you know, the renter's upset about something and they decide to sue us. Well, if that's the case and I own it personally, then there's the potential that they could come after all of my personal assets, right? I think what's the old adage? Control everything, own nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And if you want to be really good in the estate or in the asset protection world, that's kind of the key. Control things as much as you can, but make sure that you don't own them personally. Because again, if that's the case, people can take you for all you're worth. Okay.
Yeah. And if you own,
what are some multiple, other examples?
Yeah. If you own multiple pieces of real estate, you want to isolate those in their own LLC. In other words, the example you gave, those renters are coming after you. If you have not only created an LLC around it, but LLCs around your other properties, now they're isolated and some disputes happening inside of one, the assets inside of that could be accessed, but not anything outside of it in these other places. So you create silos.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So it isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing to make sure that we're continually protecting assets across the board.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what the asset is. We talked about real estate, but common things that we want to be protecting are regular stock accounts, things like business. Like, this is a big one, right? If you own a business, there's a lot of things that could potentially go wrong.
Yep.
I'll give an example. We've talked about utilizing a captive insurance company before, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of basically taking on the reason that a captive insurance company exists is because there are a number of risks that as business owners, we take on. And because we take those on, we're suddenly exposed to a lot more of those potential problems. But if we're doing the right things, again, we can make sure that we're avoiding that completely. And so it doesn't really matter what asset it is. regardless of that, you've just got to make sure that you're doing the right things depending on the situation. So, and again, it, the structure, the entity, the planning that we're doing will look different depending on whether it's at a, at the full, like high level over our entire financial world, whether it's a specific asset like real estate or stocks. But regardless of that, it has to be done. You even need to be thinking about it with like your cash and savings. Yeah. Okay. So Rod, let's kind of get into why it's important from a wealth building perspective. Okay. So we talk about it. Maybe it's obvious, right? Maybe it's just simple as, hey, if I don't do it, then suddenly someone could come in or, you know, an outside threat could come in and just wipe us out. I mean, is it more complicated than that, or is it just that simple?
Well, I mean, at its core, it is that. But what I see happen in evolution is that someone, maybe they don't have wealth, they start to build wealth, and then they're like, okay, now I got to make sure that I want to continue to build wealth, and I want to protect what I have, right? So now what we're trying to do is just bring to light some of the things, some of the angles where you want to make sure and do that, and then ways to actually do it.
Okay, so again, we talk about generational wealth, the importance of asset protection in that. Maybe hit on specifically why it's critical from a, and I hit on this kind of, I touched on it, but from a generational, from a wealth transfer perspective specifically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's when you talk about just the idea of compounding wealth and that carrying forward into the next generation, obviously, if there are loss of assets or loss of even momentum on that, right, then it becomes a very different amount that you're able to pass on than it otherwise would have been. So we're talking about preserving wealth, obviously, but it's also things like mitigating risks. And We always try to understand the risks of what we're doing and the things we invest in. But as it relates to protection of wealth, thinking about those things that erode our wealth. And it could even be things like inflation, right?
So yeah, taxes, inflation, outside factors, economic conditions, right? What's going on, like the economy as a whole. All of those things have a real impact on, it could be the changing of laws. All of these things kind of come in and can have, again, deteriorating factors. Or if I plan appropriately, I can use them as opportunities to continue to grow and protect my wealth.
Yeah. And if you're being balanced, then you're guarding against certain risks while also taking on others. So for example, liquidity is a huge need for all of us. Well, in order to keep it liquid, we also often end up putting in a place where we're getting very little return. So we're more susceptible to things like inflation or interest rate risk or things like that. And yet there are things that we can do to kind of do both, create tax savings, have that liquidity, still have access to it, but also have it be growing for us in a way that is responsive to inflationary types of things. And life insurance is obviously one of those, right? We talk a lot about that and the different benefits we get from that.
So that is interesting though, Rod. Now you've switched gears entirely. We're not talking about the threat of somebody coming in and get a lawsuit. We're talking about just the everyday things that can potentially happen, like having our money in a bank account where it's getting no interest and then it's being eroded. Again, if my money's being eroded, then it's literally not being protected, right?
Yep.
So, but that's not how we think about asset protection normally. We don't think about just the, you know, if I don't get a big enough return, then my asset's not protected. I think most people would just say it's like safe and liquid. But in reality, missing that is a form of missing asset protection because now the purchasing power continues to go down. So quite literally, I'm losing money by having it there. So your point is, by using things like the investment optimizer strategy, we can then make sure that our money's in a place where it's continually growing, working for us so that it's not losing money to inflation, right? Yeah. The same thing applies with taxes. When we start investing in things like real estate, we give ourselves a chance to create real tax benefits which by and large are creating asset protection. They're creating protection of our growth, right? Yeah. And that's as powerful and important as protecting it from outside creditors and lawsuits and things like that.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. One other thing that comes to mind as well, we talked about kind of in an inside of a business setting, different things that can happen there and the risks. Well, what about the risk of, if you're a partner, the risk of your partner becoming disabled or passing away?
Okay. So that's actually where I wanted to go.
Yep.
I want, Rod, I would love for you to give us some, because here's the deal. We work with people all the time. We have set up many of these types of, well, we've done a lot of planning around the things that you're talking about, mm-hmm. situations where there's partners who, you know, need to create an exit strategy, or they just need to create a backup plan, so yeah. that if something goes wrong, not the way that they hoped for, then there's something in place, that the planning, the preparation is in place to make sure that things can continue regardless. So I would love it, Rod, if you could give an example of maybe a client that we've worked with who we've had to help. They own a business. Maybe it's buy sell. Maybe it's key man. But give us an example of what that actually looks like in real life.
Yeah. So client comes to mind. We'll just call him George. And business owner, partner. Three partners in the company, and. Gratefully.
Okay, what does George do? Just because I'm trying to create some vision of what this
dentist.
Looks like.
So it's okay, we have a dental practice, okay. Multiple locations, but with the three partners. Mm-hmm. And gratefully, they kind of foresaw this possibility of if one of the partners dies, then what? And really, there are different angles of that, because what happens with the family? What happens with the business and really the ownership of the business? And what a lot of people don't realize is that their formation documents likely included some language called buy sell, where if one of the partners passes away, the surviving partners are obligated to buy out the family at whatever that current market value is for that portion of the business. But they also often don't take the next step and say, okay, how are we going to do that? Right? How are we going to facilitate having the funds to actually do that if something happens? So in this case, the three partners, one of them actually did pass away. And again, gratefully, they had thought ahead and had buy sell, not just the agreement in place, but they had they had life insurance in place, so that when that partner passed away, that death benefit came to the surviving partners, and they were able to use that to pay to the family. So ultimately, it gets to the family. But what's happening is they're buying the company, the shares that deceased partner owned, and now the family owns, back to the partnership. So it stays intact. The family is taken care of. And, you know, as much as we like our business partners, we don't necessarily want their family as our business partner. And so it kind of solves a lot of those problems. And then what happened is they then brought on an additional partner. And so just recently, we worked with them to now include him inside of that buy-sell, now buying insurance policies on each other. So now, again, all three partners are protected.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that the probabilities, especially in a business partnership or of somebody dying, are like higher than you would think. Like, yeah. I remember we had Jerry Barrowman on, I think it was a webinar or something a couple months back, and he shared some statistics. And I remember being like almost shocked at how high the probability is of somebody dying in a three-person partnership, mm-hmm. right? So making sure, and the same thing applies. Like we talk about key man insurance. We're going to hit on that in a minute. Like all of these factors, the reason that there's solutions for them is because they really happen. And sometimes we kind of forget about it. They just seem like pie in the sky things that could happen at some point. It's kind of like death, right? Like we all kind of know that death is out there and it's going to happen at some point. We just kind of put it off and don't think about it. A lot of times people do that same thing with the asset protection elements because they're thinking, oh yeah, those things could happen to me, but the chances are they likely won't, or if they do, it'll be down the road and I have time that I can, you know, take a step back and do that planning. But what we're suggesting is do it now. Don't procrastinate it. Mm-hmm. And again, we're all guilty of this, right? But yeah. But by not procrastinating it, we suddenly can take like real control of things. But I think about how many threats, Rod.
Okay.
I think of all of the threats that a business owner has. And you think about, you talked about the buy-sell agreement part of it. Well, we were talking about keeping the business intact, but it's doing more than that. Like you said, it's also keeping the family intact. So if I'm a business owner, and I am, Rod and I own the business together, I want to make sure that our business is intact and continue to grow and build, even if I die. But I also want to make sure, probably even more importantly, that my family is protected and cared for. And so doing these things ends up being an incredibly important part of making sure that that happens. And can I just tell you, having seen situations where it didn't go that way, it is really sad, right? Because again, it can blow everything up in a minute. Somebody that's like running on autopilot, doing incredibly well, happy, comfortable, in a great place, suddenly one of these major unforeseen things happens, and now it just derails us completely.
Absolutely.
So we can't emphasize enough how important it is to make sure that that's the case, that you were doing those things.
And we're focused again on the deceased partner, but I also want to go back to the surviving partners, because let's say that they didn't have that life insurance in place in George's example, and they were either taking from profits from the business over a 10-year period to buy out the family, or they're taking assets from somewhere else to take care of it. That's a real downgrade in their wealth in order to take care of that. Even if the business does survive, they've had to reallocate a whole bunch of assets to make that happen.
But it's even more than that. They have less help, right? They don't have the same expertise, specialty, and just people now if somebody passes. So I'm missing that element, and I'm still having to pay the spouse out. So now it's going to have a drag on the business. And so again, there's easy ways to plan for this. And people don't realize a lot of these things are relatively inexpensive to do. Mm-hmm. So a couple of examples of asset protection things that are easy to do. Even if I just go, if I'm a business owner, at the very least, go get a buy-sell agreement with term insurance. It's not going to cost a lot. It'll protect the business. And then as you kind of grow and progress, if your business is more cash heavy, you can be creative, get into the more permanent types of policies that are built for wealth building. And you can kind of dual purpose that. You can make sure that you're both continuing to build and protect your wealth, but you're also making sure that the business is protected simultaneously. So you can do both. Okay, Rod, let's talk a little bit about another example. Specifically, okay, you mentioned the idea of key man insurance, and maybe it's obvious what it is, but talk about what key man insurance is and share an example of when we used it and why.
Yeah, so we talked about the partners. Obviously, it's a big deal if one of the partners is gone. Well, what if you have, in a business, you have employees that are critical to the success. And in a lot of cases, they've been with you for a long time. They know the systems, maybe even better than owners in a lot of cases, because that's why they're there, right? They bring that expertise. And if one of those people were no longer, they passed away, or again, disability, and they're no longer able to do their job, that's a huge impact on the business financially. Obviously, again, there are a lot of other impacts, but specifically financially. And so you can go buy insurance for kind of this key person situation so that, again, something happens, money comes in, and great, okay, what am I going to do with money? Well, I'm going to, number one, if there's a loss of revenue while we're getting ramped back up, it's helping with that. There are costs to getting ramped back up and getting someone else in that position. It's helping with that. So it's just plugging a lot of those things that just naturally happen in the case of that loss of the person. Now, let's actually take it a different level. What if that person leaves you, right? They just decide to quit and go and work for somebody else. Well, that's a huge risk as well. So guess what? You can actually dual purpose the same asset to accomplish both. It's life insurance, so you're the beneficiary if something happens to them, they pass away. But you can also create it where it's like this future retirement benefit. So there's actual value that is carried with that inside of the business, motivating the individual to stay. They call it golden handcuffs. because it's keeping them there. It goes away if they leave. It goes to their family if they stay and survive and retire, and then it becomes a real asset, real value for them in retirement. So there are a lot of things that we can do to cover those needs, and actually cover multiple needs simultaneously.
So we're talking a lot about this from a business perspective, but I think the other thing that's really important to remember is that it all trickles down, right? Yeah. So if I own the business and I have the impact on the business has an impact on my family, the employee, like if something happens to them, it has an impact on their family. So again, like we talk about these things sometimes forgetting that it's like real people who have really serious challenges that come that we could fix by just doing a few things. I talked about the buy sell agreement using term insurance. Another easy way to make sure that we're making asset protection a priority is using umbrella policies. We talk about that a lot. It's just a really inexpensive way to add an additional layer, right? Like,
for sure.
I think I have a few million dollars and it probably cost me, you know, $300 or $400 a year to make sure that, you know, even if there's a terrible car accident, then we go over car insurance limits, we have that extra layer. The same thing if I'm getting sued for whatever reason. So there's a lot of things we can do. Okay, so let's give some advice on the primary steps we need to take in order to get into a strong position as it relates to asset protection. The first thing we need to do, Rod, is we need to make sure we're working with competent professionals. Maybe this is a stupid question, but why?
I mean, it's probably no surprise to everybody to find out that there are intricate details with these things that if you go it alone, or you go with someone and you're saying, well, you're whatever, like your CPA, and they know a lot about a broad range of things, and you're like, hey, well, why don't you just take care of these things? It used to be CPAs would help in creating LLCs, for example, and there are still some who are qualified to do that, and if they are qualified, great. But what happened is there were a lot of CPAs who were making missteps. They would say, oh, great, I can create that LLC for you. And so they would do it, but they wouldn't do it in the right way from an asset protection standpoint. And people would find out it the wrong way, that it wasn't done right. So aligning the need with the right professional and bringing people in who have experience specifically in what you're trying to accomplish from an asset protection standpoint.
Yeah, and the way to do that is to find people in your world who are already doing the kinds of planning, the kinds of things that you want to be doing. Ask for recommendations. We have plenty of recommendations for attorneys and experts in their space. But that's the key, right? Like, you have to make sure that whoever you're working with is an expert in their space and has experience and a track record to prove it. That way, I know that I'm getting the result that I really want to get. And they have a reputation for delivering that on a consistent, regular basis. The other thing you want to make sure is that you're not getting cookie cutter advice. Now, this goes kind of right in line with making sure you're picking a good professionals who really know their stuff, because those types of people aren't going to be giving out cookie cutter advice. They're going to make sure that it's specific and tailored to the individual. Yep. But as you're going through that process of designing your asset protection plan, it's really important that it's not just a one size fits all, hope for the best. And that's why we say go to people rather than just going on to, you know, online and finding, I'm trying to think of one of those websites, like one of those easy do it yourself websites, kinda. LegalZoom. Yeah. That's better than nothing, certainly, but there's probably going to be a bunch of holes in it at the end of the day. So if you want to make sure that it's done right, well.
Yeah, you get documents, but it's not the specific advice specified to your need. And that's really what we're saying.
Okay. And the final piece that's incredibly critical is that it's an ongoing thing, right? Yep. You have to be consistently looking at it, updating, and making sure that the plan fits for whatever part of our life we're in. So what I'm suggesting here is that you can't leave your asset. You can't say, okay, hey, I did my asset protection planning like 15 years ago, so we're good. Mm-hmm. That's just not how it works, right? When I buy a new piece of property, if I want to make sure that I'm doing it the right way, I'm going to have to go own that in an LLC. And by doing that, of course, I am protecting the asset. So it's consistently making sure that each asset fits into that broader plan. And again, if I follow those steps, one, I'm working with qualified professionals, I'm making sure they're tailored solutions, then it's really easy to make sure I have kind of a simple review process that makes sure that I'm up to date. And maybe it's just as simple as, you know, visiting with those people on a yearly basis to update those things in conjunction with knowing that, okay, when I buy a piece of property or I own a new asset, I want to make sure that I own that singular asset properly as well.
Yeah. And it's not only that your situation changes and evolves, the laws change. And even court decisions can create new precedent that makes a difference in whatever thought process your attorney may have had when they set up your trust or your, you know, these documents, the LLC, that then needs to be adjusted and tweaked. And it's all changing, right?
So here's kind of my final thoughts, Rod. And I'm going to make it quick. Everybody should be investing with benefits. One of the critical ways to do that is make sure that asset protection is a part of that. Because again, it'll blow everything up or it'll make sure everything's running nice and smooth. And man, that just sounds way better. So thanks for hanging out with us today. And we'll see you next week on the Money Insights Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights Podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, please visit moneyinsights.net. The views and opinions expressed on the Money Insights Podcast are not intended to be individual financial, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with the appropriate advisor before making financial decisions. And if you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This will help others find the show and learn wealth-building strategies for themselves. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.